You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text for the sermon is short and sweet from 1 John 4, verse 19, where St. John writes, "We love because he first loved us." We love because he first loved us. Now, wonderful Spencer Leffel, who is the communications director for the Church of the Advent, and a very old friend, and I, were talking about the Swedish musical group ABBA at great length the other day. And he said something that so was completely true. He said, you know, Paul, back in the days when ABBA came out with Waterloo and all their string of great hits, people like you and me regarded them as absolutely yuck. I mean, we were still in 10 Years After and The Who, and all of a sudden this clean scrubbed romantic group who looked so well, and we just, you know, do you want to know something? On December the 23rd, 1965, I got to see the original Yardbirds, and it was their first American concert. This really happened, and it was the one tour of the Yardbirds where Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page were playing on the same stage for the Yardbirds. I mean, just think about it. I mean, you might as well just never have to go to the Holy Land. And So Spencer and I agreed wryly that groups like ABBA, which we knew and heard, were sort of for the birds. But now, this is the interesting thing, all of a sudden, the ABBA, because ABBA is talking about real things, has suddenly shot to at least number two or three, as opposed to the Grateful Dead. Now, why is that? I'm going to try out a song. I'm going to mention a song to you by ABBA that really encapsulates what I regard to be the human predicament to which St. John is speaking, and to which our hearts are prey to the deepest pain and the most enduring loss that can come to a human being. And this is their song. You've all heard it, even though you may not remember the title. It's called SOS. And it's released in June of 1975. And the singer sang, she says this, "So when you're near me, darling, can't you hear my SOS? The love you gave me, nothing else can save me. SOS." She's obviously had a relationship with a man. He's kind of distanced himself from her. And so she is sending out SOS to him. "The love you gave me, nothing else can save me." And that's how she really feels. Do you remember the Beatles song, "I Feel Fine"? And it ends with the repeated chorus with John Lennon and Paul McCartney singing, "She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's in love with me and I feel fine." Now, my point of this sermon is that love is not something that you initiate, but in its best, purest, and most enduring form, love is something that comes to you first. One of the great issues in the history of Christian thought has been when people say, well, the church has to be more loving. This group of people has to be more loving. You got to show love. And it's true, but it's superficial. Because love must come from somewhere. Love, when you make it into a law and tell, just be kind, you know, kind. Everybody who has that on their Volvo station wagon is impossible. Just talk to them. Be kind. It's a guarantee that they're absolutely impossible in one-to-one relations. Because love has to come first to you before you can love. A child has to be loved by his mother and his father before he is able to actually enact love, unless he's a very rare bird. So the point of this sermon is this: the secret of life is not loving, but being loved. You know, everybody now whose marriage breaks up, everybody comes to me, they come to marry me all the time, and they say, well, I had to divorce him. I just had to. I said, why? Well, he was a total narcissist. He had narcissistic disorder. Have you heard that phrase? You mean he was a human being? It always cracks me up. You know, Mary, don't I have narcissistic disorder? And she very graciously, quietly nods her head. And think about, it's so interesting. I mean, there are plenty of reasons to separate and to be upset with a man, but to say it's because of narcissistic disorder, well, then everybody sitting in this room should step across to the courtroom. Because love, a narcissist is simply someone who can't love because he hasn't been loved enough. She hasn't been loved enough. That's why she's so self-absorbed. Now, let me just say two more things. Do you spend much time when you go outside the church meditating on the statue that's out there in front? It's unique in the Southeast, and the statue is called the Compassionate Christ. And it was, it's based on a sculpture of Christ, the Compassionate, Merciful One to All Comers, by a Danish sculptor named Thorvaldsen. And you know why it's there? It's not because somebody had a kind of sudden interest in Danish 19th century statuary. The rector of this church was named John Turner. There's a picture of him. He was a holy man. And he and his wife had a child who was critically ill. And the critically ill child was in intensive care at Johns Hopkins Hospital, which is the only place that they thought at the time where she could be helped. And Dean Turner went into the little chapel at Johns Hopkins, and they had that statue, the Compassionate Christ. And he prayed, he and his wife, to that statue. And they never forgot the moment. They felt the presence of the Christ who loves and made himself a sacrifice for all our shortcomings, not because we loved him, but because he loved us. And that is why that statue is holding a very unusual place in 19th century art. There's only one other statue of the period in this country that has Jesus as a sculpture in a public state, and that's in Copley Square, Boston. So that statue tells us that John Turner wanted it there because he wanted the passers-by to realize it's not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Well, I'll just tell you one other story and one more song. Our closest friend, my closest friend growing up, long dead, that they're all dead, but nevertheless, my closest friend from the time we were literally 8 years old, married, I was there at the marriage, a woman that did not love him. This is long, long, long ago. And she just didn't love him, but he was extremely interested in her. And all he really wanted after about 10 years of marriage was whether she would agree to have a child. That was all he, if she would, because she didn't love him enough. She said, no, absolutely not. And then one day, the backstory here is that my beloved friend, long dead, was a chain smoker. He smoked 3 packs a day, every day, from the day he was 11 years old, without a single stop until this point. And ultimately, it took his life. But he smoked. And she said, one day she announced to him, in a moment of divine engagement, she said to him, you know, maybe I'm wrong. If you really, really want it, I'll try to have our baby. And then she said one other thing. But it would mean so much to me if you would stop smoking. It would mean so much to me. And you know what he did? And it was the only time in his entire life he threw his cigarettes away, ran around the block where they were living, and said, I'm giving up smoking. I'm giving up smoking. We're having a baby. Now, I'm not here to tell you what happened afterwards and the ins and outs of that remarkable story, but here's an addiction, a lifelong need, and he was loved, enfin, by his wife, who agreed to try to have a baby with him, and he gave up smoking. It's the equivalent of climbing Mount Everest 10,000 times because you're so loved. Well, let's listen to that one more time. The love you gave me, nothing else can save me. She loves me, and I feel fine. We love because he first loved us. And finally, do you remember Whitney Houston? Do you remember her song in 1985? It's one of the great songs. How will I know that he really loves me? Remember? How will I know that he really loves me? It's extraordinary. And the answer is, in this is love, that he loved us because he sent his son to be the absolute substitute and offering for all of our unresolved, enduring, impassable problems. And it's almost as if the statue in the front of the street there were to come crashing through as Whitney sang her song, How Will I Know? And he would say to her, that perfect statue of Jesus Christ loving us, and he would say, this is how you know that he really loves you. God, deepen our hearts to receive the love that you have for each of us, and help us also to grab on to the love that others have for us when we may not always see it, but to esteem it, to enjoy it, to value it, and to live from it. For the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.